What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Great Divide. I am your host, Effington Major, chilling out here in the EUG, which is on fire like a motherfucker. I'm stuck in the house, trying not to breathe all that ash and smoke and shit in the air, but I'm making it through and I'm surviving, and I'm glad you could join me today. Today is a special episode, because today is my birthday. Yay! Not much is happening again. All my family and shit is back home in North Carolina. So I'm just chilling out here by myself on what is supposed to be the greatest day of the year. I took some vacation days. We had Labor Day. So from Friday, I took off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, which was the holiday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I go back to work tomorrow. I was supposed to go up to Portland to enjoy some vacationing and some relaxing and shit. And the fire started happening. It rolled in. I was looking at the shit when it rolled in. I was in Cottage Grove at the time. And the sky was perfectly picturesque, beautiful, crystal blue up in the heavens above. And as I'm driving, getting ready to turn on 99 West, either 99 East or 99 West, coming back up to Eugene from Cottage Grove, a red cloud just floated right over my head and shit, and I didn't know what it was until I got maybe 5 miles away and I started smelling the smoke. And I was like, oh shit, not this again. This is the worst shit ever. In fact, you might remember me saying on a podcast, I think it was maybe 2-3 years ago, that and I remember when this happened. It happened during, it was 2017. Y'all remember there was this big eclipse and people's coming from all over the country, some people from over the world, to watch it in Oregon because up around Salem was one of the best places that you could, you know, view it. And so I wanted to do that. I didn't have any money to go at the time, so I couldn't go. But it didn't matter because Eugene, wait a minute, I'm getting my stories fucked up. It was 2 years ago and it wasn't during the eclipse. There was a wildfire in Medford, like a huge one in Medford. And it was around August, beginning of September. I believe it was August because I don't remember fires ever happening this late in the season, not on this scale. And that's 120 miles away, Medford is. But the smoke was blowing north. And so we got covered in smoke for about 2 weeks. And I remember saying on that podcast, it was the absolute worst. And I remember trying to record a show through it and me barely being able to talk because my voice was scratchy and hurting and shit. Well, some of you, those of you who follow me on Facebook or are friends with me on Facebook, know now that I live by myself in Eugene. Well, baby, this motherfucker is like a fortress because I can't smell no smoke. I'm not in here coughing and shit. I do worry about when the oxygen is going to run out, but I hope it's not anytime soon because the outside is just covered. I wish I could show you pictures. For the people who don't live in this area, it is not possible for you to understand unless you're in one of these Oregon fires or one of the wildfires in California right now. This shit is apocalyptic shit. Everybody's fine right now. I think that what they have been saying is, and I'm not trying to make this show a report about the fires. This is a happy show. It's going to be a happy show anyway, which I rarely do because there's always some important shit to talk about that's got some dire consequences. But today we're going to do a light, happy show. I want to talk about something from my childhood, but I'll get to that in a minute. They talk like two of the cities that are east of Eugene and Springfield are now completely gone. One is called Blue River, and I did see some footage of that today. I don't know who took the footage. People are not allowed to go up there right now. The fire was there just 2 days ago, so shit is still burning, but they put some footage of it on KEZI. Go to your Facebook page and you'll find it on the KEZI Facebook page. A car was driving through and it showed all those buildings and shit that have been burned down. And then the other place is called Vada. And both of these places are east of Eugene and Springfield, and now the fire is almost on Springfield's doorstep, which is the city next to Eugene. So, of course, we're getting all the smoke from it. Wind normally blows from the east to the west. A lot of it from the northeast to the southwest. So we're getting it two different ways. Cottage Grove really got it bad because they got a fire just beneath them, and they got this fire on top of them. The one that we're dealing with is called the Holiday Farms fire. But I just wanted to give you all an update. So that's what's happening on my birthday this year. Yay. In any case, I just wanted to go back in time. Oh, before I get started, let me do the upfront. The official weapon of the show is wisdom, and the unofficial sport is drum and bugle corps. Today, we are not sponsored. I'm not even sure I'm going to do sponsorships again. But make sure you stay tuned to after the show, because we do have a project coming up. And I'm probably going to make some of you guys stars, because we have a new podcast that's going to come out in October called By the Season, where we review TV shows, not by the episode, but say it with me, y'all, by the season. All right, so stay tuned for that. In fact, you don't even have to stay tuned for it. The information for it is going to be on the website. So just go to thegreatdivide.us and click on the link that says By the Season. And all the information you need to be able to submit content for this show. Because, like, if you watch a TV show and you really like it, and at the end of the season, you want to decompress, you want to talk about it, get some thoughts about it, that's the way to do it. Create some content, we'll put it up on the feed, and then whatever feedback you get will be read on the show. You can respond to it however you like. It's going to be a good time, and I'm looking forward to getting that show started. Because what I try to do here is I try to create shows that I would want to hear. Well, I don't want to hear, there are not very many TV shows that I would want to hear a recap after every single episode, because I don't need to. I'm looking at the shit. What the fuck I need you to tell me what I just looked at for? You get what I'm saying? But after you have a whole bunch, like 8-show season, 10-show season, 12-show season, 24-show season, after you have all of those different stories and they're hooked together and you have some context for the entire season, then it's time to talk about some shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're going to be doing with By the Season. And I hope you decide to join us. Look at your favorite shows. Talk about your favorite shows. And it's going to be a good time. So anyway, go to the website for that. TheGreatDivide.us. Speaking of shows, I just wanted to, for my birthday, since this is one of the most celebrated days of the year in every country, September the 10th, my birthday. You can tell those fires is fucking with me a little bit, because my voice ain't, you know, normal like it normally is. And I have the feeling we're going to go through this for a couple of weeks. But anyway, when I was, let's see, I was either 11 or 12, I believe it. No, I was 10. I went to the movie theater for the first time. It was the first time I had ever seen a movie. First time I'd ever been in a movie theater. And what I'm about to talk about is the reason how come I am more often than not, 94% of the time, 94 to 96% of the time, I'm like this. Fuck your remake. I don't give a fuck what the movie is. Leave the remakes alone and shit. Come up with some new concepts and some new ideas. Because 9 times out of 10, motherfuckers ain't going to be able to do it better than the original anyway. That goes to music, too. Now, I have heard some songs that I like better than the original. But the reason why is because I heard the remake before I heard the original. So I got used to the remake, and that's why I like it better. But for the most part, when we're talking about movies and TV shows and shit, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. When I was growing up, I was born and raised in North Carolina. I went to school in Virginia, in a place called Arlington, right outside of Washington, D.C. Arlington County school system has, I don't know how many elementary schools, but there's a lot. And when you are in the 5th and 6th grade, or at the end of your 4th grade year, you can request or put in a petition or sign up or somehow try out to be a patrol. Now, a safety patrol is the kids, I don't know if your school had this program or not, but ours did. All the Arlington County schools has this program. A safety patrol is when you're going to school in the morning, some kids walk to school and they have to cross the street where there are cars that are going to be at the intersection. And 9 times out of 10, there will be a security guard out there, like a real crossing guard, like a policeman crossing guard or whatever. But that policeman can't control every single intersection that's out there. So it would be our job as safety patrols for 5th and 6th graders to keep kids on the sidewalk until all the traffic left whatever area, and then safely guide them from one side of the street to the other when there was no traffic present. It wasn't the type of thing where little motherfuckers was getting out in front of cars and shit directing traffic. We wasn't out there putting, holding our hands up like stop to cars and shit. The cars had the right of way. We were just letting the children who were behind us know when it was okay to go across the street. And that only occurred when there was no traffic in the intersection. Not even waiting. So like all the cars would get to go before. If there was 10 cars stacked up waiting to go, all those cars would go before we as patrols were allowed to let these kids cross the street. So it wasn't like we was out there being junior policemen and shit. Fuck the police. In any case, that's what we got to do. You know, we got little benefits, like in the wintertime where it got really cold in Virginia, the patrols would have to go out there before kids started coming to school. So we had to be out there 10 minutes before the kids. And then we had to stay until the last kid had, made his way to school. So we would have to stay out there 10 minutes after the bell had rung. And then we would get to go to school. Now, where my station was, it was about 5 to 10 minute walk from the school. So that was like a whole 15 minutes that I was going to be late for class. In the wintertime, when it was cold outside, it would be freezing out there. We got little benefits, like we would go in the school kitchen and have hot chocolate. Just the patrols. Nobody else got this. Because we had to stand outside for like 20 minutes, a half hour. It would be cold. One of the benefits to this, and I didn't even know it was going to be a part of it, was at the end of the school year, all of the safety patrols got an end of the year trip. Our end of the year trip was to the movies. Now, none of us knew that this was going to happen. This was something brand new. The sixth graders didn't get it when they were fifth graders. I started being a patrol when I was a fifth grader. Oh, and don't get it fucked up. They don't just let you be a patrol. You have to try out for that shit, okay? It's like pledging a sorority up in that bitch. I got hazed and everything. But I just wanted y'all to know, I didn't just get to say, ooh, make me a safety patrol. They had to select me, okay? Now, y'all hear how petty I am talking about how I got selected to be a safety. Because there's some kids that didn't get to do it. Because they just wasn't ready. They couldn't hang with the big dogs, okay? So I got to do that shit. Anyway, the end of the year trip was to the movies. And, oh, you have to forgive me. I'm smiling thinking about this because I love this story. Y'all might not love it, but I love it. And today my birthday, so I'm going to tell it, damn it. Anyway, never had happened before. This was the first time that they had did this. The sixth graders, they didn't get to go the year before because they didn't have the program the year before. I was a fifth grader, so I got to do this 2 years in a row. But this was the first time me personally, Effington, had ever been to the movies ever. And part of what makes this unique is that growing up, especially in the late 80s, the early 90s and shit like that, was that the white kids at your school would always ask you, did you see such and such or had you been to such and such? So they got to go to the movies. I'm from a poor black neighborhood. None of us got to go to the movies. But we would always pretend. So like when somebody say, ooh, like when your white friends say, ooh, did you go, have you seen, what's the second one? The Empire Strikes Back yet. You be like, you might lie. You might say, yeah, I seen it. And then talk about shit that happened in the first one in a way that they don't know that you ain't seen the second one because you didn't want to feel poor around these children. most of the time I would just say, nope, I ain't seen it yet. I haven't been to the movies. Now, I would never tell them I had never been to the movies before. I would just say I haven't been to see that. Because I, you know, just stuff like that. It's what's sad about that is there's a lot of navigating and circumventing and shit that goes on even when you're in elementary school. Little kids shouldn't be having to think about how they might measure up to their classmates or how they ain't got the same shit their classmates got or what their classmates would think about them if they knew this about them and that type of thing. Or I'm poor and the reason why I never invited my little friends to my house is because I was embarrassed about where I live. Shit like that. I feel like children shouldn't have to go through that. But I did and many of the kids in my neighborhood did. So now the poor kids, we would go to each other's houses, but we would never invite none of the white kids to our houses. If that makes sense, because they had money. I wouldn't say that Arlington is segregated, but there were neighborhoods where black people lived in there and neighborhoods where white people lived. And the black neighborhoods were always worse off than the white neighborhoods. So if you were friends with somebody white, you could bank your bottom dollar that they were financially way better off than your black ass. And that's not to say that all white people are rich, because I don't know that. But where I went to school, there wasn't no trailer parks, wasn't no shit like that. It was just the black neighborhoods and the white neighborhoods. And the white neighborhoods, all Arlington is well-to-do. It's right outside of Washington, D.C. If you live close enough, you can walk into Washington, D.C. And Dave Chappelle had a fantastic joke about how Washington, D.C. is called Chocolate City for a reason. It's 88% black people that live in that motherfucker. And white folks used to go to the edge of the Potomac River and look into D.C. to see what the fuck was happening over there because they were too scared to go. Well, those white people that he was talking about are the rich white folks who live right outside of D.C. because they don't want to be in the city with the niggas. But they will be their ass on the outside of the city and commute in every day because outside of the city in places like Arlington and Fairfax and Falls Church and Reston and Herndon and all of these places are well-to-do. It's rich, white, mostly political people. Like, for instance, not in Eugene, but places before. I had never seen white folks outside of D.C. How do you explain this? In D.C., being in D.C., having grown up in D.C., in that, you know, in that area, in Arlington and stuff, it was very uncommon for me to see white folks that wasn't in a suit or a dress of some kind. All of these motherfuckers are professional. I can't even remember a time as a child that I saw a tattoo. And that's because everybody's shit was covered up. They had on suits and dresses and shit like that all the time. And because you're always working. I mean, it's the nation's capital. You're always working. I mean, motherfuckers who worked in the local corner store. I never saw tattoos and shit on them. All of that shit is new to me. Especially being in Eugene, where everybody got tattoos on their motherfucking faces and shit like that. See, where I come from, that's a sign of not, I'm not even going to go into that because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or anything like that. But it's two different worlds. Now, out here it'll work, but in D.C., that shit won't work, okay? So, and everybody is career-minded, politically-minded. D.C. is just that place. Like, we import business people to D.C. type of shit. So, I never saw any of the stuff that I see in Eugene. I never saw any hippies, didn't even know what they were till I moved to this motherfucker. Never heard of meth until I moved. And even now, back in the hood, back in the deep, deep hood, it's still crack. Niggas don't know shit about no meth. You want to know what we know about meth? Breaking Bad. That's what we know about meth, okay? In any case, I'm getting way off the topic. So they take us to the movie theater. Now, we have to get on the bus. And it was like 60 of us. We got on two buses, about 60 kids. And here's the other thing. We thought we was going. Do you hear what I'm saying? We didn't know every patrol in the entire county was going. So when we got to the movie theater, I mean, it was like sardines. Bus after bus after bus after bus after bus of little children going in here to see this motherfucking movie. Now, when you're a safety patrol, you have to wear an orange belt. It's a belt that goes around your waist and goes across your chest. And it's real. It's like neon fluorescent, hot, toxic orange that they put on you so that other children will know you're a safety patrol when they're coming across the street. all of us had on our belts, every single one. There had to be been at least 1,200 kids there. I mean, the motherfucker was packed. Now, this was back in the late 80s when we still had movie theaters that had balconies in them. So they packed all of it. And I mean, everybody's just so excited. It was one of the best times of my life. I never forgot this experience. And we was just went in this place, and every school had their own little section. But, you know, because there's so many kids, there were no open seats. Every seat in the motherfucker was packed. The balcony was packed. Everything was packed with just 11 and 12-year-old little children, right? Just excited and can't keep us calm down. We jumping up and down out our seats and talking to patrols from McKinley and patrols from Glebe and just talking. It was just a wonderful time. I've never had an experience like that again ever. This was just a wonderful experience. So then when you walk in this place, I don't know that a place like this exists anymore. I haven't seen any, and I'm a person who goes to the movies often. When you walked into this place, it looked like a palace. Like I said, it had a balcony, but it looked like an opera house in that bitch. Do you hear me? It looked like going into the Kennedy Center or some high-end place. When you looked up at the screen, there was a big red curtain that covered the whole screen. So you know how, like, when you go see a play or some shit like that, it's behind a red curtains or whatever, and then they open the curtains up and you present the first act. That's how they had the motherfucking movie. So before the movie came on, they opened that curtain, and it slid to the side all slow and shit, and all the children in there started hollering and screaming. It was the best time I've ever had. And so, I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting chills talking about this because it was just one of those experiences. But so we sitting in there, and the movie that they showed, and because this was my first time in the movie theater, and I had never seen none of this shit before, I was blown away just by how, okay. And then another thing about the movie theater looking like an opera house, you know how an opera house has a regular, you know, seats down on the mezzanine or whatever, then there's the balcony. Now, the balcony in a movie theater has like 20 rows in that bitch, so it was a bunch of people in the balcony. But this place also had those little seats on the side. You know how in a opera house you have the balcony in the back and a bunch of people sit back there. But also on the sides of the, it's like a big circle. And then there's the screen in the front. And even on the sides, there were like those boxes that you see in opera houses or even at like NFL games or whatever where people can buy their own personal boxes in them. They had those in that motherfucker. And students were sitting in those too, yelling and screaming and shit with the rest of us. It was wonderful. So they opened up the screen, or they opened up the curtains and the screen. And I didn't know what we were going to see. I was expecting some new shit, like Back to the Future, or, you know, some shit, some up-to-date shit. They played a movie I had never heard of, but it was wonderful to me. And it had came out like 10 or 12 or 15 years before they actually showed it to us. So I guess they was looking for like some age appropriate content or whatever. And the name of the movie was Clash of the Titans. This movie, for most of my life, was my favorite movie because of this experience. I had never seen anything like Clash of the Titans. Not only on regular TV, I had never seen anything like this movie. Not to mention, what made it really interesting is that in Arlington Public Schools, in fifth grade education, you learn about, not necessarily the Iliad and the Odyssey, but you learn about Greek mythology. You learn about Neptune and Zeus and all these motherfuckers. You learn about Xerxes and well, he ain't got nothing to do with Greek mythology. But you learn, and the way we learned it, we learned Roman and Greek at the same time. So we learned that these people were the same. These gods were the same gods. They just had different names in Greek and Roman. And so we didn't know this story. But we looked at this movie and it was a fantastic movie. I still love this movie. I still watch it every once in a while. It's not the same as seeing it that first time on that. I mean, that screen was so big. It was gargantuan. The screen seemed to be the size of all the hundreds of seats that they had on the floor. It was just massive. So you could see everything in great detail. And back then, that would qualify for what today is high definition. I had never seen anything that big. And so we're watching this shit and seeing all these things I didn't even know were possible. I mean, my jaws were on the floor. There's a part where a statue starts talking. I'm sitting there like, how the fuck did they do that? And then I'm sitting there watching. And then when the bitch with the statue, her motherfucking head fell off. I was like, what kind of shit is this? And then water came out like a waterfall. I had never seen shit like that before. The movie was fucking fantastic. It was magical. For a little kid, for an 11-year-old little kid who had never seen a movie before, the shit was just phenomenal. I was floored. And here's the other thing about Clash of the Titans. There's scary shit in it, but it's not scary in a Freddy Krueger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not shit that'll keep a child up at night. Because all I have is fond memories of that movie. Even watching Medusa turn shit into stone. All the kids in the little movie theater were pensive, afraid for whatever the nigga name was, who was the hero. And then we watched that bitch turn into stone. Children clapped and stuff, and it was a wonderful time. One of the heroes of the story, there's the man, I think his name was Perseus, and there was his horse Pegasus, which was another hero of the story. And then there was this owl. It was like this mechanical owl that was part of the story. And during the course of the story, when we figured out what the owl was supposed to be, we clapped for the owl just like we clapped for the human. We clapped for Pegasus just like we did for that man. That was something else that was new to me, that a movie could make you fall in love with things that weren't human. I had never had that happen before. I had never seen Bambi and shit like that that had come out. And I wasn't in love with Bugs Bunny and the shit you see on Saturday morning cartoons like I was with that motherfucking mechanical owl and shit. So when I tell you that at the end of that movie, there's a scene where Neptune or whatever his name was released the Kraken. And there's this gigantic ass monster. By the way, I just need to give shout out to the motherfuckers who made that, because they did it with claymation. When you go back and look at how much work they had to do to make that shit do the special effects it did with clay, nigga, what? You be like, oh my goodness, who would do that? You know them niggas got paid a pretty penny for that shit. In any case, Neptune, I don't know what his name is in Greek. I should, because I studied that shit extensively. He released the Kraken. And the Kraken is this big monster. And even as a little kid, I remember thinking to myself, what the fuck does the Kraken want with a white woman? Okay, so you know how, I know that sounded stupid, but you know how King Kong was in love with this white woman. And that shit just never looked right to me. And for that reason, I've never really paid attention to King Kong movies. And they remade the motherfucker how many times? And I think they keep remaking it because of racism. There is nobody on the planet Earth who can't figure out what the allegory is for a big old black ape that's in love with this beautiful blonde white woman. I mean, they saying that's niggas. That niggas is a threat to white women. That's all that movie is. So I never really paid attention to the shit anyway. But it always was peculiar to me why he was in love with a little itty bitty white woman that could fit in the palm of his hand. You know what I'm saying? I can't think of a man who is in love with, you know, something that's like a hamster or some shit. You know what I'm saying? It just seems bizarre to me. So this big, monstrous, gigantic ape, I guess maybe he was in love with the itty bitty white woman because there were no white women his size. Maybe that's what the fuck was happening. But the shit just always, I don't know, it didn't make sense to me. So needless to say, it didn't make sense to me that the Kraken decided that this white woman had to go. That the princess I'm going to call the bitch Princess Toadstool because I don't know what her name was. But I know Perseus was in love with the bitch, and she was a princess of some kind. And so the Kraken, they was going to sacrifice this bitch, right? They was going to give her to the Kraken. They gave that bitch to the Kraken. So the Kraken is waving this bitch over his head like she's some type of samurai sword or some shit, like he getting ready to kill her. And I'm like, well, why the white bitch? But anyway, he's got this bitch in her hand, nigga. When I tell you that when Pegasus and Perseus flew around that motherfucking mountain to save that bitch, that entire movie theater shook with how much we were clapping and cheering in that motherfucking auditorium. Baby, I'm not lying. It shook. That's how loud we were. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. That all of us, none of us knew each other, came from all these different parts of the city. Most of us were white. There was a couple of niggas sprinkled in like a Kanye song concert. A whole sea of white children and a couple of black ones here and there. Just like a Kanye concert. But when I tell you that was one of the only times in my life where I experienced the same experience as a whole bunch of motherfuckers around me who I did not know at the exact same time, that was the moment. That was synergy. That was kismet. I can't even describe it. We cheered and clapped. There were some kids crying because, I mean, they thought that the bitch was going to die. I mean, we were young, and the monster was a big monster, and it was super black. So you know they were scared of the blackness of the motherfucker. And he was waving his bitch over his head like he was getting ready to crack her motherfucking skull open. And baby, it was it was the best. That was a moment I'll never forget. Long as I live, I swear to goodness, I'll never forget that. And so we left there satisfied and shit. And again, I cannot overstate what a wonderful experience that was to have that moment with those other people. I didn't even know these people. But us sharing the same thought in the same moment and being able to react with it is just a wonderful feeling. So before I get into the second part, which ain't going to be way as long as the first part, I have a couple of interludes. The first one is, in speaking on why it was so important to me being able to have that moment from when the Kraken came around that mountain to get ready to say with those other kids, it explains a lot of things that people don't even think about these days. I'm a Christian, and some people ask me, why do we pray over food? Well, the reason why we pray over food is because it's the only time in the day where the whole family shares the same thought. Much like the Kraken and coming around that motherfucking mountain, the entire theater shared the same thought. And there was energy in that. And the same thing goes for praying over your food. Of course, I do it when I'm by myself, but when you do it with people, there's energy in that. There are times, few times in our life, where we actually get to experience that. Some people, most people, have never experienced that at all. Being able to share the same thought with other people, regardless of your background, you don't need to know shit about them. They over there, you over here, but y'all still share the same feelings. Share the same moment. The two times that I can think of off the top of my head, and I don't think they'll ever happen again, was one, when the eclipse happened. Everybody was outside trying to see it. That was a time, but there was no excitement to it, like, of course, Clash of the Titans. But still, it was a time when, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of your religion, regardless of your sexuality, your race, or whatever, you were trying to experience something with a collective. The other time, which there was a little bit of electricity that happened behind this one, and again, it was one of those ones where it didn't matter your political stance, your religious stance, it didn't matter, none of that shit mattered, was when Barack Obama announced that they had killed Osama bin Laden. Some of y'all was in the house. I was not in the house. I was outside. I was in D.C. I saw all those people out in the street yelling and screaming and being happy that Osama bin Laden was dead. And this ain't some shit that was just in D.C. This was all over the motherfucking country. We collectively, as a country, had the same thought. Doesn't happen often. That was one of the one times that it happened. Probably will never happen again. Something really big has to happen for it to happen again. We're in the middle of COVID-19 and wildfires. Still ain't happening. Still not sharing the same thoughts. But for that one, we shared the same thought. Anyway, here's part two. I am a person who very rarely gets to engage in nostalgia because I don't have that many things from my childhood that are left that could bring me to that place. Most of my things are black things. And I live in a place where there are nothing but white people. So, of course, I'm not going to get to experience them here. But there are the few that I did get to experience with white folks that every once in a while I'll find myself engaging in nostalgia. Clash of Titans is one of them. When I first discovered the internet, it was like 2008, 2009, 2010, something like that. One of my biggest sites that I used to go to all the time, and I should start going back to it, is the IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. And back then, it's a lot harder to navigate it now than it was then, because now it has so much information. But back then, it only had like certain things related to what you were looking for. So like you could still go and look up people's acting credentials and all that type of stuff and movies that they had played, and all that stuff was still there. But they didn't have all this extra shit with a podcast and all this other shit and clippets from shit that they ain't got shit to do with what you're looking for. Just, it's real cluttered now because there's so much content. One of the things that they did have that I find very difficult to get to now, I don't even think I've used it in many years because it's not on the front page anymore, is upcoming shit. So you could from the front page of the IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, you could go to a link that said upcoming projects. And it will tell you everything that's been scheduled to be released in the movie theater. I'm sure this feature is still there. I'm just too lazy to go find it. And so it'll be like right now, September. So it'll tell you in October all the release dates for movies, November, December, January. And then it'll start getting fuzzy around February and March as they learn that new shit is going to be coming out. One of the features of that was called post-production. One of the features of that was called in development. One of the features of that was called pre-production, before they start making a movie. And the final feature of that was called has been announced, or something like that. And that's basically that they've announced that this particular movie is going to be made and where it's going to go. So if they're planning for it to go to DVD, straight to DVD, or if it's going to the movie theater. And I'm one of these people where I've always felt as a Christian, that some of the best stories that could make the most money are stories from the Bible. If you read the Bible right, some of those stories are amazing. And I feel like with the technology that we got and the CGI and all this shit, these days, oh, you could do some shit. You could make some money, like some real money, not just from Christians, from everybody. Because if you get Jamie Foxx and Russell Crowe and these niggas in your movie and motherfucking, what's the bitch name from Miss Congeniality, that bitch, and maybe throw in some other bitches that can act, Helen Mirren or Dame Judy Dench and these bitches, you'll have a blockbuster hit on your hands if the shit is done right, right? What's the one that this Taken, Kidnapped, is that the name of the one, Kidnapped, with Liam Neeson, that's the nigga name, who I refer to as the new Chuck Norris because fuck Chuck Norris. Anyway, when you look up this shit, there was one called Announcements. 2 years before the movie Noah came out, I knew it was coming. I tell you, it was very exciting for me because to see these stories that I've been told all my life to come to the silver screen was like a dream come true. They fucked it completely up. They made Noah a motherfucking ninja master in this bitch. This nigga knew kung fu, okay? It was ridiculous. And I was very disappointed. And church groups went to see this shitty movie. And I felt bad and wish I could give every motherfucker back their money. Another one came out that was, I forgot what the name of it was, but it was related to Moses. That one was shitty too. I knew that one was coming out like maybe a year before it came out. But I wasn't so excited to see that one because I saw what they did with Noah. And I was very disappointed. You know how they say Christians go around, you know, witnessing the people and telling them to follow Jesus and all this shit unwarranted? Well, Noah is not a movie I would tell them to watch if I was trying to do that shit. Trust. In any case, maybe a year and a half before it was supposed to pop off, I'm looking through there and I see Clash of the Titans. Nigga, when I tell you I got goosebumps just from reading that it was coming back, that it was going to remake it. And I'm a nigga that believe in modern technology. I'm a nigga that believe in CGI. Baby, I was hyped than a motherfucker. Any of you niggas that was on my Facebook back then will remember all the posts. I just talked about this movie incessantly. Couldn't wait. I saw who the lead actor was going to be, who was playing Perseus. And I was like, cool. He wasn't nobody that, I can't even remember the nigga name. He the one that starred in, what's the one with the big blue motherfuckers? The Avatar. He starred in that. Sam something Worthington, some shit like that. Anyway, he's not a celebrity to me. He's not a star. He's not like a Tom Cruise or a Liam Neeson or a mother. You know, he just there. And people love him, I guess. I don't. I can barely stand him. But anyway, so that's who they had starring in. And one of the things that I remembered about Clash of the Titans was how long it was. It was like almost a 3-hour movie. It was what you called an epic. When you looked it up in a TV guide, it was called Epic Fantasy. Well, I was excited about this movie, but I ain't gonna lie. When a couple of weeks before it was supposed to be released, now here I'm a nigga that don't go to see the movie on the day it come out. I just don't. I was going to be first in line for this movie. The only time, there's twice in my life where I went to see a movie on opening day. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and The First Hobbit, which I'm not going to talk about because I'm going to get mad all over again. The Lord of the Rings trilogy was fantastic. It is a masterpiece. Fuck The Hobbit. I don't know what that shit was. And I feel stupid having spent my money to go see that bitch on the first night it came out. But I don't want to get mad right now. So I'm going to leave it alone. And it has to do with that Lord of the Rings was done, I feel like, very seriously. It was a very serious film, a franchise that catered to adults. The Hobbit was catered to children, but adults went to see it anyway. That's what I feel like the big difference was, because they had a motherfucking wizard in this bitch walking around with bird shit on his head. That's not the type of shit I go to the movies to see. I go see a Will Ferrell movie, Jim Carrey, you know, some shit like that, to see a nigga walking around with bird shit on their head. Not motherfucking Middle Earth. Do you get what I'm saying? So that kind of fucked me up. Anyway, that's beside the point. My first red flag, in fact, my only red flag, and the biggest red flag I've ever seen in my life, came when a couple of weeks before this movie was supposed to be launched, I was looking at it. You know, they get the specs and everything, and it said 1 hour and 38 minutes. And I'm looking at this bitch like, how in the hell are they going to fit almost 3 hours of movie into 1 hour and 38 minutes? And then I said to myself, okay, so they must be doing the Lord of the Rings treatment. They're going to make this bitch like 3 movies long or some shit like that. That's not what it was. That movie was a travesty to filmmaking. I have never been that angry at film in my life. It was horrible. I mean horrible. When I reimagined it, I reimagined it in such a way that if I had been a director, it would have been a multi-billion dollar movie. People would have came to see this bitch. I would have made the God. I know it's supposed to be a Greek film, but I don't give a fuck. We trying different shit these days. I go to see this movie. And first of all, Sam Worthington? He all right. You know what I'm saying? He not a great actor, not to me. He's just all right. He can, he, okay, Sam Worthington plays roles that anybody could play. But he don't really add nothing to him. He's just the body to fill the role. Like, if they had got the motherfucker that played American Psycho, damn, I wish I could remember what his name was. The movie would have been so much better because that nigga act. Do you hear me? He act. Okay? And he would have did an amazing job in that role. It wouldn't have just felt like a body filling that role. But the reason why I walked out of the movie theater was it got to a part, and this hurt me in my heart. This hurt me in my soul to say this. Got to a part of the movie. I don't know what the thing name was. It was a mechanical owl or something. But during the movie, there was a box of shit. And Pursuit or Sam Worthington or whatever the fuck the nigga name is picked up that owl out of the box and said something like, "What is this?" And the dude explained it to him. And Sam Worthington said some shit like, "Oh, this is useless," or something, and threw it to the side. That shit broke my heart. I grew up on that movie. That was the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater. That mechanical bird was the first time I fell in love with a character that was not a human. And he just took it to the side, threw it to the side like it was a piece of trash. And I'm so attached to that movie. And that shit broke me. So I've never got to see the rest of it. Fuck that movie. Fuck whoever came up with it. Fuck the director. Fuck everybody who played in it. Fuck Clash of the Titans, the new version. Y'all were shitty. Y'all ain't ever gonna compare to the original. Y'all can suck my dick and kiss my ass. I don't give a fuck about none of y'all. Y'all fucked up my childhood with that bullshit. That was the most amazing experience I ever had in my childhood. And then in my adulthood, y'all are going to take that shit from me? Fuck y'all. But when I had reimagined in my version, it would have been a little bit different. I was imagining the all-star cast that I would have for it. It would be so closely related to the original, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. The only thing is the cast would be diverse. Like, I would have made Zeus would have been Morgan Freeman, Persephone or whatever that bitch name was. Her ass would have been Margaret Cho. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been a diverse cast. Of course, there would be some white folks in it because you can't do a movie like that without Michelle Pfeiffer being one of the goddesses. I'm sorry, you can't. But that would have been my version. Zeus and Athena and all these, I'm fucking up mixing Greek with Roman and Roman with Greek, but it don't matter. Do you want chocolate in your peanut butter or peanut butter in your chocolate? I don't give a fuck. I just want the shit to be a little bit diverse. And that don't even mean Pursuit's got to be black or A, he could be white. I don't give a fuck. But the people that he meet on the road in his adventures, they going to be some people of color up in that motherfucker. See, that's part of the reason that I didn't rate Lord of the Rings as highly as I could have. Because we're talking about a nigga, Peter Jackson, who was the director, who saw an all-white universe. I mean, of course, all the little hobbits was white, and all the little elves and shit was white, and everybody was white in that entire motherfucking movie except for the orcs. Do you hear me? And it fucked me up. So I'm thinking to myself, fine, if you want to make all your main characters white, great. But can't you have the shopkeeper be black? That's some type of work that we do any motherfucking way. He couldn't even be black. The motherfucker, when they went into Bree from Shireton, I can't remember what the name of it is, but from whatever hill he lived on, and they went to Bree, the motherfucker who opened the door, he couldn't have been black. Or the nigga that told when little Frodo Jenkins said, who was that over in the corner when they was in the shop? And the motherfucker was like, "Oh, he's a ranger. His name is Aragorn." The motherfucker who told him that couldn't have been black. Every motherfucker in this movie had to be white. Every single one. Okay, so they fucked me up with that. So Middle Earth is only for white motherfuckers, I guess. Ain't no room for niggas in Middle Earth. Just like there wasn't no room for niggas in the Flintstones in the past or niggas on the Jetsons in the future. So we don't get to be in the past, the present, or the future. Fuck all of that. In any case, I just thought I'd run that by y'all. Because today is my birthday. And thinking about all of this, I'm probably going to end my night by watching Clash of the Titans. Because that's what I do. Happy birthday to me.